Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you go to calibrateministries.com for more resources to give to the ministry, share with your friends. We really, really appreciate it. So today I'm going to take on a little bit of a topic that I've been seeing a lot of discussion on recently. I've seen this come up in ministry several times recently, and then there's a lot of online discussion about it. And so I thought it would be valuable for us to take a look and see what is going on in our culture. And that is the topic of polygamy and polyamory. And so me, if you don't even know what the difference between that is, and that's okay. Today, I'm going to tell you that we're going to explain what is the difference between these two concepts of relationships that we see in our culture. One of the reasons why I thought that it was a good time to bring this up is because there's popular YouTube Christian theologian, kind of pastor guy, Mike Winger, who has been talking about polygamy a lot. And I really like Mike. He has solid stuff. And so he just did a kind of a explosive, long response to this guy called Rob the Polygamy Guy. And so this guy on the internet, you know, it's always some dude on the internet, had this video advocating for polygamy and why every man should seek it, and claiming to be a Christian. And so Mike did a response to it, and it's caused a lot of discussion and responses, and Mike continues to talk about it. And the things that Mike said were really, really good. You know, he defends biblical marriage. I think that the guy, Rob, I think his arguments were horrible enough that I probably wouldn't have, you know, given him the attention that he was probably craving by responding to it. But that's what Mike did. And it was full of biblical truth and really good. But I want to talk about polyamory today, because I see that happening in our culture way more than I see polygamy. And I just a quick Google search has showed that, you know, around the world, like less than 0.5% of people live in a polygamy type household, which it's probably way less even in the U.S. But with polyamory, it's more like 5% in the U.S. That's a big chunk of people. You think, just do the math on 5% of the people who live in your town or your county or your state, and that is a big chunk of people. So let's get into it. What is the difference between polyamory and polygamy? And so I kind of wrote down, spelled out four major differences I see. So the first one is just very basic. What are they? So polygamy is one man with multiple wives. And we've seen that throughout, you know, history. We see it in the Bible. And many times people like Rob, the polygamy guy, use the Bible to try to justify it or endorse it. Obviously, we believe that the Bible is descriptive of those situations, but it's not prescriptive. And there are always consequences of polygamy. And it wasn't God's best. It's not what he designed marriage for. And it never led to human thriving or flourishing. Instead, there were consequences. There was never once in the Bible when polygamy, taking multiple wives, was spoken upon positively. That's the definition. Obviously, a person with multiple spouses, it's usually a man with multiple wives. Whereas polyamory is this kind of a newer phenomenon that is happening so much, and you wouldn't believe how much. Like I said, the Google search said 5%. I've had people coming to me very recently saying that they know people in these relationships. So polyamory is a relationship with three or more people, and it could be people of any genders. But the difference is, it's not one person with multiple wives. It's these people are in a romantic, emotional, sexual relationship together. Many times, if it consists of three people, they call it a throuple instead of a couple. Two, it's a relationship with three people, a throuple. It's been kind of a cultural phenomenon. And you see, we've seen some kind of movie stars and celebrities come out as being, you know, in a throuple, and it's become kind of cool. But I think it's more than just this kind of cool thing that a few people have gotten a lot of social media attention in, I see it actually affecting real people and people being drawn into it. Recently, just this week, I had someone come up to me and talk to me about a situation with one of their family members. They said, calls himself pansexual and is in a throuple or a three-person relationship. I can't remember the specifics. It was like one person was a man, another one was transgender, transitioning from man or woman, or it was with a woman, and then a transgender person who was in the process of transgendering. It was a mess, no matter what.
I'm so confused.
And I have those people coming to me regularly talking about how someone in their life, they find out, is polyamorous and in a three-person relationship. And I've known Christian families that are caught off guard when one of their kids kind of comes out as polyamorous. And, you know, the world kind of used that language, come out. But it's not a sexual orientation. I think that there's been a couple of kind of experts claim that polyamory is a sexual orientation. And I don't believe that that's true. I think it's ridiculous. I don't even like that whole concept of the language of orientation. It's really obviously sin and rebellion. When we talk about orientation, we're usually talking about which gender we're attracted to. And polyamory is about relationship setup and status, and that the boundaries of relationship and being in relationship with more than one person. And so that's very different than the cultural conversation around orientation and who you're attracted to. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids, because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form. And I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. Polygamy is usually one man with multiple wives. And in those with polygamy, these wives aren't in, you know, relationships with each other in a romantic sexual way. They are obviously in each other's lives. But, you know, polygamy got a lot of attention the last few years with the reality show Sister Wives. And I think that the guy had at one time up to four wives. And so, but they lived in family together, but they're more like sisters. The individual wives weren't in this sexual romantic relationship with each other. And that's what differentiates polygamy with polyamory. I think, I haven't followed that show. I hate reality TV like that. But I think that the husband in that is down to one wife. And so I don't think it's really worked out the way that they thought it would. So that's the main difference, though, between polygamy and polyamory. Now, I have three different sets of distinguishments that I don't want to put anyone in a box. These are my observations. And so just take it as you will. These are my observations of what I see happening in our culture with polyamory and the differences between polyamory and polygamy. So with polygamy, there's usually a very strong religious aspect to it. And that doesn't have to be the case, but most of the time we see people using it with this very strong religious aspect. You see that in cults. You know, the Mormon church was famous for promoting polygamy, and now they've stopped, but there's still these, you know, different sects of Mormonism that live with polygamy and promote it. And sometimes they're very cult-like followings. And, you know, there's been times where these cults were, you know, people were arrested. A lot of times there's sexual abuse in them. You know, they're broken up, people charged with crimes. And many times, so polygamy is in this cult type religious setting, and they attempt to use the Bible to justify it or build a biblical case for polygamy. And most times their biblical case for it is ridiculous, like Rob the polygamy guy. It can so easily be torn apart, and Mike Winger did a good job of that. So I'm not going to go through all of the reasons that they use the how they use the Bible to justify polygamy. And I'm not going to talk about all the reasons why they're wrong. I think most of my listeners understand that already, and we don't need to go through that. If you don't know that, then go check out Mike Winger's YouTube channel and find that video, and he goes through it really, really well. But overall, this pattern of polygamy is in highly religious settings most of the time, whereas polyamory is very, very secular. I haven't seen anyone with polyamory pursuing it on religious grounds or for religious reasons. It seems to be very secular, and it really seems to follow this LGBTQ culture we live in, this ideology that any relationship is just based on feelings. And so they're not doing it for religious purposes, but just, oh, this feels good right now, and I like what this person does for me. And as three people together, four people together, I think usually what I see is three people in a relationship together. It's all based on feelings, which is what we've based marriage and relationships on in our culture for decades. Feelings. So I like how this person makes me feel. And so it's kind of an opposite extreme from polygamy, that the secular non-Christians, I don't see a lot of people with polyamory who are proclaiming the name of Christ or trying to use the Bible or any type of religiosity to justify or give a vision for what they're doing. All right, third, polygamy. I see men who are trying to be extremely macho and kind of chauvinistic. It's kind of this red pill Christianity that we see in our culture, red pill men. The type of men like Andrew Tate. If you don't know who Andrew Tate is, don't Google him. It's not worth it. But he's this social media influencer that has a huge following of men, and he advocates for just extreme sexualization of women and conquering women and having multiple partners. Mm-hmm. And women are something to be conquered and controlled, and you should celebrate the sexual freedom of being with all these women. He comes across as tries to be very, very macho and manly, and he's obviously trying to compensate for something, and he's been deceived. But I see a lot of the people who advocate for polygamy, even though they're very few, try to have that type of macho masculine, I'm going to control something, I'm going to control these women, I'm going to find my identity and my value in this very ultimate high level masculinity, which is not masculinity at all. That's not what God calls us to as men, but that's what they're attempting to do. Whereas polyamory seems to be very passive and effeminate, and the guys I see susceptible to it are maybe already guys who are somewhat dealing with same-sex attraction. There could be a polyamorous relationship where you have one man and two women, that's possible. So that guy might be only attracted to women, but then both of the women are going to be kind of bisexual in some way because they're both with a man and a woman. Overall, I see the guys being very passive and kind of effeminate. And many times you might have, two men and a woman. And so the two men are interacting with each other sexually too. And I think that's kind of a reflection of our culture right now, where all these social stigmas have been taken away. And so probably, especially with this situation of polyamory with a man and two women, these two women might not have had like same-sex attraction. They might not have called themselves bisexual, but there's no social stigma about it. So they're willing to participate in this three-person relationship and with each other without deep-rooted same-sex attraction towards one another, because there's no social etiquette or social stigma holding them back. And, they might be kind of excited about it because of kind of the rebellious nature of it, which just speaks to our culture and where we're at. Whereas So it can look so many different ways with polyamory, because it can be any combination of genders. Many times when I see, though, that many men who would want to be with more than one woman, which is actually many men who have sexual desire for more than one woman, they don't actually want a relationship with more than one woman. They want to scatter their oats and sleep with lots of women. They want to maybe be in a committed relationship and have an affair, because many men obviously struggle with attraction towards many women and can't get a control. But this is different. And so this is three people actually in a relationship together. And so I don't see the men usually in this case being this super macho, I want to conquer the women and sleep with as many men as possible. It's this very kind of effeminate, based on only on feelings. I like what these people do for me. And we have this consensual understanding of each other that it makes us all feel good. And so that's why we partake in it. Many times, with polygamy, they're looking for it for the long term. And whereas polyamory is very kind of passive and seems much more fluid. It's like, oh, we're in this relationship right now, but you know, one person moves on, and it's just not a very big deal. It's handled very, very passively. Which leads me to my next point, which is about kind of the passivity of that. With polygamy, I see it being highly intentional and structured. There's very strict standards. And usually with polygamy, they're doing it in the construct of marriage, of, you know, one man with multiple wives, and they're using the marriage model. And even though, you know, polygamy is illegal in the United States, you can only legally be married to one person, people will still, you know, live a polygamous life. And they have many times these religious ceremonies to where they're, you know, religiously committing to this person, and they're functioning as a marriage, even though they can legally only be married to one of their wives. So they have this vision for it, and these very strict standards that come with kind of the religion that they're trying to perpetuate with it, which is usually some form of very twisted Christianity that's not actually Christian at all. But there's these strict standards. They're trying to conform to these standards. They have rules and regulations and expectations. And usually with polygamy, it's a man ruling over multiple women anytime, very, very abusive ways. But polyamory, again, then is the opposite of that, very passive. Many times what I see is that polyamory happens unintentionally. And so what happens is you have a couple that is living together. And with polyamory, it usually doesn't involve marriage. There's not a marriage construct to it. They don't consider it to be a three-person marriage. It's a three-person relationship. And it happens unintentionally and passively, as maybe a couple lives with a roommate, right? And so they're living with this roommate, and there's just no boundaries in this relationship. There's a blurring of what this relationship is even for, and they have this roommate that they let into this emotional aspect. And before they know it, they realize that, oh, they're in a three-person relationship, you know, a throuple, if you will, and they embrace that, and they figure out, what does this look like for us? And it happens unintentionally and has very few kind of boundaries. I have known some people. I know some Christian families where their child divorced his wife so that he could pursue polyamory, and so that does happen. I usually don't see people who are so intentional about it, but that does happen. But many times families are caught off guard, because usually someone isn't like very loud and obnoxious about polyamory, like the polygamy type people who are very loud and obnoxious, like Rob, the polygamy guy, and they attract lots of attention. I think they feed off of that attention because they want power and control and fame. Whereas polyamory catches a lot of families off guard because they didn't see it coming. And many times they didn't know it was happening. You know, their child is in a relationship with someone and they didn't realize that they've involved a third person in that relationship. Because it was very subtle and it just happened kind of slowly over time. And many times I see these polyamorous relationships where people don't advertise it. They're many times not, you know, out and proud about their, you know, polyamory. They might not be ashamed about it, but it really reflects, again, this passivity and this unintentionality about it. I think as I reflect on culture and ask how did culture get here, I see that type of passivity and blurring of boundaries in how we do all marriages and relationships. I see that in how we use the word partnership or refer to our partner. I absolutely hate that term. I hate when people refer to their partner instead of defining it clearly of this is my wife, this is my my fiance, this is my girlfriend, or vice versa. No, I hear people say their partner. And that used to be the case when a lot with like same sex couples where they couldn't get married. And so they might say their partner because they become life partners, but they couldn't have the institution of marriage. But now it's just everywhere with heterosexual couples, just using the word partner.
I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you would be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like.
Many times I've kind of made some people angry at times. I try not to be an internet troll like this. It's not helpful. I don't engage much in this way, but at times I couldn't help myself. In like the dad groups I'm in, I'll see all these dads refer to their partner. And sometimes they will say, ask questions like, oh, how should my partner and I structure our finances? And I look at their profile pictures, like obviously they're with a woman. And so this isn't a same sex relationship, but still heterosexual couples use this, this term partner all the time. And sometimes I'll comment and be like, well, it depends on if your, you know, partner is your wife or your fiance or your girlfriend. Like that is that, you know, how you handle your finances should depend on that. And it should be very different, obviously completely different in those different scenarios. And people get upset when I ask that question, even if I try to do it kindly, because I truly want to know so I can give them advice. And, you know, if they're married, then your finances should be completely together. And if you're not married, they shouldn't be. But people think it's I'm a troll or just being archaic and old fashioned by asking them to even distinguish that, because we've blurred these lines. We've lowered the standard of what it means to be in a relationship. We've taken away all the boundaries and all the long-term expectations, and we've made it about what I feel right now and how this person makes me feel right now. And so I think that what we've done with that in our culture is now reflected in this concept of polyamory, of blurring the lines, no boundaries, just whatever it happens between consenting adults. And I see that term a lot. You know, it's used to justify about everything. It's used to justify, you know, homosexuality, used to justify polyamory, used to justify open relationships. And let me also should make clear the difference between polyamory and open relationships. An open relationship or an open marriage is one where there's a legal, in the case of marriage, or at least a commitment to each other, a two-person relationship. But because of the open aspect, they're allowed to have, you know, sexual relationships with people outside of their marriage. And so obviously we think that that's adultery, and it is, and it's depravity. But they've come to an agreement where they're okay with that. And the world says, well, as long as it's consensual and you've decided on that, then it's okay. And so, but that's different because with an open relationship, the actual relationship itself from illegal, from a commitment, whatever commitment they have from a relational, emotional standpoint is still between two people. Usually the open aspect is one of them can, individually have sexual relations with another person. And there are, marriages that are open marriages where, they have like threesome type relationships and it's horrible. But I see in the dad groups I'm in, of course, the dad groups are just a place of so much depravity on like, that's the goal for so many men. They don't want monogamy and they're maybe not willing to commit adultery by having sex outside of marriage that without their wife's permission, but they would love to be in an open relationship or have a threesome. It's like, that's the goal. And we all need Jesus, like Lord help us. Our culture has gone so far. And I think because of all these blurred boundaries, lack of purpose for marriage and relationships, unfettered sexuality, where it's all about me right now. It's all about just what's consensual between adults. Then you end up with something like polyamory. And we have to navigate that because I see people coming to me whose children are in relationships that are polyamorous and they're just, they don't understand. And I'm not going to talk today, really a long response about how to respond in those situations. First and foremost, they need Jesus. They need repentance. If they were a Christian, they need to be called to repentance. Most of the cases, I haven't seen these situations with people who even claim to know Christ. And so obviously it's a evangelistic opportunity. They're putting their hope in something other than Jesus and they're living in a state of depravity and deception. And so, we need to share the gospel with them. I have seen online, there's a website called queertheology.com. Don't bother going there, but they tried to make the case that polyamory is okay with the Bible, but it was such a horrible view of the Bible that it's not even worth responding to. These people don't actually believe in the Bible. And so, it's not, I wouldn't consider a Christian stance from them. It's a lot of the affirming theology of, oh, the Bible doesn't actually talk about that, but there's no surrender to the Lord in it, and such a twisted view of scripture that I don't think it's even worth my time responding to their arguments because they were so bad. And so most of the time, these people are not Christians. And so we treat them as such. We try to love them. We invite them into our life. We share the good news of Jesus with them and so that they can come to repentance and a new life and be transformed and have a better vision. We want, as Christians, to live in a way that people see the goodness in marriage, that God made marriage and he established it from the beginning. He instituted marriage in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the first marriage was based on this covenant promise. And this covenant promise is about giving. It's this promise you're making to this other person, regardless of what they do for you. And so this act of marriage, God set it up for, leaving, cleaving, and becoming one flesh. And the world needs to see this deep reliance and commitment to one another. The world needs to see stability and death to self. So we model that. We model putting the well-being of someone else first. We submit to creation order because we truly believe that God made it good, even though marriage is hard. Sometimes, actually probably every time, God made it good and we put that on display for the world to see. We look for opportunities to share the gospel, to proclaim hope. But I want us to be equipped for these situations. I want us to understand what is going on in the world. What are people doing with relationships and marriage? Where is this coming from? So that we can truly be equipped and hopefully step into these situations and respond in a way that's going to help soften people's hearts, give us opportunity to share hope with them. Because ultimately, when we're living in sinful relationships, we're making ourselves a slave to that person. We're living in slavery to our sin and our fallenness and our brokenness and our deceitfulness. And we want to help people find freedom that can only come from Jesus. All right, that's all I have for you. Not a huge episode. I just wanted to help you understand what is going on here. I think it's important, especially with a lot of the internet chatter about polygamy the last couple of weeks. So go and sin no more with the help of Jesus, please. We surrender to him. We surrender our marriages to him. We surrender our sexualities to him because he is good and he's called us to something greater and his grace is sufficient. And we walk in freedom and hope and we put that on display for the world. Make sure you check out CalibrateMinistries.com for more resources. Share with your friends. We appreciate your support of the ministry. If you listen, you can do that at CalibrateMinistries.com. Go and have a great week and embrace God's standard for marriage. We pray for you. We love you. And we will see you next week.